T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Right now, our friend Howard Gutman, our resident, I mean, I guess he's almost got the liberal residency at WRVA. He joins us for Politics and Pints on a pretty frequent basis, and he was President Obama's ambassador to Belgium. He's been very well connected in the Democrat Party for a long time, and I thought, you know what, let's see what Howard's thinking these days, especially with the passing of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Justice Ginsburg swore you in. Which position? I saw this amazing picture of you with your right hand up and her swearing you in. Which position was this, Howard?
Good morning, John.
Good
that
morning.
Was when I was made U.S. ambassador to Belgium. And,
that was, okay.
Yes, and I knew, you know, the process going on, and I knew my confirmation should be before the break by the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
And the State Department said it would be, you know, 5 weeks till they would, you know, you'd go forward with a swearing in.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to see her in I went to see her in June of 2009 and said, I'm due to be sworn in August. Is there a date that you could do the swearing in? And we arranged a date. And my fear then, John, mm-hmm. and so many of my friends shared in that fear, was that given how sick she was in June of 2009, that she would not make it till August of 2009.
Wow, back then, right.
Back then, she already had the cancer, and a type of cancer that I had always heard was, you know, deadly and short deadly.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you know, I used to see her. We'd go to the Kennedy Center from time to time, and she had season tickets seeming on the same day. So we would see her with either my friend who's her daughter or my acquaintance who's her daughter, or with some security. And she made it through my whole time in Belgium, years coming back, and she was there right before COVID. I saw her out at the Kennedy Center.
Well, tell me what your thoughts are as you analyze, since you clerked for two Supreme Court justices. I mean, that's quite an insider view that we can get from you. What is your assessment of her legacy? Quick snapshot at her passing.
Well, you know, she was the best that we had to offer in kind of two ways. She stayed true to her principles in all but one case. She was clear in her views. The views were what you would call left. And by the way, thank you for calling me the resident liberal. I would regard it as the resident voice of reason, John, not the resident liberal,
would.
The resident voice of reason.
I'll let you get away with that. That's great.
She was true to that voice of reason, but she was also collegial. It's famous that her best friend was Justice Scalia, and they would never, except for the case that I regarded, all nine of them were legally disingenuous, academically disingenuous, which was Bush versus Gore, where all nine of them violated their principles for a result. But except in that case, you know, most of the cases are not the cases that divide us so much. Most of the cases are an interpretation of an ICC provision, and it'll be 7-2 on no particular lines. You know, it will be your view of the law. And on all of those cases, she was brilliant, but she was collegial. She would listen to arguments. She wouldn't write just to make a point to show her how smart she could be. She wouldn't be an I gotcha justice. And we stayed in touch through the years loosely, and recently, my best friend is a judge in Buffalo, who she went to speak in Buffalo, and he hosted her. So she met him for one evening. That's all she met him for. And he wanted her daughter, his daughter had always just loved Ruth Bader Ginsburg. So when he was coming to visit us in Washington, he called our mutual friend, her daughter, Justice Ginsburg's daughter, who was a classmate of ours, and said, is there any chance your mom would meet Bridget, my daughter? And sure enough, she invited him over to the Supreme Court. And she gave the thrill of a lifetime to my friend's daughter, even now, even as a busy justice. So she was always a spectacular person.
Well, that's remarkable. And it is an honor when you get to meet a member of the Supreme Court in person and on a personal level like that. Hey, I'm watching the clock. I got to go. But I want to ask you, why do you think that she voted with the other justices on that election case, Gore?
On Bush versus Gore, yeah. All nine of them were contemptible because, if you'll remember, the case came off on an equal protection ground with the four Democrats ruling in a way that would limit the equal protection clause, but that would elect Gore. So totally against their views, and the five Republicans taking an expansive view of the equal protection clause, totally against their jurisprudence, to elect Bush. And I said, to heck with all nine of you. It should have been 5-4, but it should have been the five Republicans electing Gore with the four Democrats dissenting and supporting Bush, because that's where the jurisprudence would have led him. And I always hoped that if I was ever a justice, I would have voted with the law and not with the vote. But that's the day I thought the court broke.
Interesting. I got to go read about that and try to dissect what you're saying. Now, you want me to put you in touch with Tim Murtaugh at the Trump campaign and see if you can be a last-minute vet for this particular seat? You think you've got what it takes for that?
You know, I'm probably not on their short list, but I got to tell you real quickly, I've got to tell you the people on their short list, you know, our dear friend Jeff says it just should be the best person for the job. And it's certainly never the best person for the job. They're always looking to fill something here. But when your sweet spot are women who are known in the federal society, the bench is particularly short and not particularly qualified. So on that list of finalists,
you don't
for
think
example,
these two ladies are Amy Coney Barrett and Barbara Lagoa, so, right? You don't think that they're unqualified, do you?
I definitely think, well, let me put it this way. The question is the Jeff Katz standard, the best person for the job. So also on that list is a third woman, for example, who's just as qualified as the other two. Mm-hmm. She was at my law firm. She joined right when I left my law firm, which means today, had she not, she made partner that first year. She was put on the bench in 2018. So that means she would be a second year, a junior partner, still carrying senior partner bags if she was still at the law firm, which means there's probably 100 lawyers at my old law firm more qualified to be a Supreme Court justice than she is.
Well, that's based on time served, right? Just marking the calendar. That doesn't mean that.
No, it's based on. It's based on the experience, the seeing the cases, the seasoning your thoughts. I've been through that process. I was a young, brash, brilliant Supreme Court law clerk. Then I was a young, brash lawyer. Then I was a young, brash partner. And then I got old, and as I got gray. And I got to tell you, there are brilliant lawyers all over who, compared to the people being considered would be more qualified, but we're, again, your scope here is limited to women who are well thought of in the federal society. It's about Donald Trump getting reelected, which is that is true of all people. All presidents nominate to the Supreme Court with a particular eye on their politics. But I got to tell you, I would hope that they would aim higher.
You want to, you know, Donald Trump deserves to have somebody who mirrors his philosophy and his party's philosophy as they go to the court. But as soon as he makes the announcement, Howard, why don't we have you back next week and we can dissect whoever he picks? How about that?
Let's do that. One other point.
Okay.
Merrick Garland was nominated in February and held up. We're talking someone being nominated the end of September and being ramrod through. Let's think about that before we speak the next time.
I will. You know, you guys win the Senate, I have no doubt that the Democrats will jam us up and push through whoever they want.
But let's. When it happened in February, it was all your Republican senators saying what will be good for the goose will be good for the gander. And when the gander came up, it's no longer good for them anymore.
It's what the voters have to say, and they put Republicans in charge. But I got to go. I got to go. Howard, I really appreciate you coming on, and you've got two or three other good stories we've got to talk about in the next week or so. So it's 8:16. Thank you, Howard Gutman.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.